Welcome back to the 16th installment of the Dugout Discussion Podcast. I'm Jack.
I'm Max.
And I'm Noah. We're recording this in the morning, so we might sound a little, I don't know, groggy or something. Or
not energetic.
I haven't been smoking or anything. My voice is just deep right now.
No one assumed that, dude. It was in the morning. Everyone was like, okay.
Okay, they're definitely smoking.
Yeah, no, 100%. Can't see any other way around it.
Okay, so we're going to get started with the division review of the NL West, and then we're going to, I don't know, just move on to what happened over the week.
Mm-hmm.
So, division review, NL West.
We all know we're going to start off with
the Dodgers. The 106-56 Dodgers, which is, I didn't know they had that good of a record. I thought they were like 90 and something, but 106-56.
Yeah, was that the best record this year?
I think so. I think the Yankees were 103 and whatever the other one is. So that I didn't know they were 106 win team. So what was the expectation for the Dodgers? This should be
World Series, right?
Win the World Series. Yeah, that's
it's not even win is the better way of putting it.
Yep, that's what I said. And what do you think their team strength was?
I kind of said everything. No, I feel like for a 106 win team, you're kind of firing on all cylinders. You know.
Firing on cylinders is right. They had the number one pitching staff in the MLB. Mm-hmm. They were top five in offense. A pretty solid defense, too. Really good team.
You know what's scary to me with the Dodgers is they have three number ones.
Exactly.
Kershaw, Buehler, and Ryu.
Mm-hmm.
And everybody says, oh, yeah, Kershaw's the best. Oh, yeah, Ryu had the best season. Personally, I think Walker Buehler's the best pitcher on that staff.
I think he has a lot more projection than I think people are giving him. I think maybe his recent season last year, obviously, wasn't, like, he could just do better, is what I'm saying. Like, there's still layers to this dude.
Yeah, for my team strength, they were just a really complete team, but they also had the highest payroll. Mm-hmm. That's just what that gives you. Really, really complete team. And what was the weakness for them? I had a tough time finding one.
Yeah.
I said none. They had a top 10 farm system, too, when I looked.
I said poor management, but that's even a stretch just because of the Joe Kelly play in the postseason. But
you could say Howie Kendrick.
Yeah, that's a good one.
So team MVP, this should be pretty
obvious. If you argue this, I think
Cody Bellinger.
Yeah, Bellinger. I think he had 9 WAR, which is ridiculous.
Yeah.
Ridiculous.
Especially for a player that plays two positions.
I'm looking now, and the Astros had 107 wins.
Oh, gosh.
There's always an Astro next to them. But still.
That's so true, honestly.
Yeah, Bellinger, the team MVP, around the board. And team Cy Young, this also should be pretty around the board.
Hyunjin Ryu?
Yeah.
I said Ryu, too.
Led the team.
Despite after that Sunday night baseball against the Yankees imploding.
I mean,
I'll never forget that.
Yeah.
Because that was right after an episode, and we were like, this is a big game. Like, this really shows us if the Dodgers are for real or not.
Mm-hmm.
And if Ryu is for real for the Cy Young.
And he showed us his true colors, right?
Yeah.
And, yeah, he gave up, like, 6 runs or something.
Mm-hmm.
And, I'll never forget, because we kind of predicted that kind of spot on.
Yeah.
And, you know.
Yeah, we said basically how this game is going to go tonight is a good prediction on how the rest of the season will go for the Dodgers.
And if he wins the Cy Young. And he didn't win the Cy Young.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Hyunjin Ryu takes the team Cy Young. What about Will? I almost just said it. What about team surprise?
I said
Will Smith. He was a 15 homers and 1.6 WAR in 54 games as a rookie. He played catcher, caught, you know, Buehler, Kershaw, not easy to do.
No, for sure. I didn't know who to pick. There's just so many people off their bench that I would say did good. I mean, the name that just came to my head was Alex Verdugo.
Yeah,
but once again, I think you could give it to literally any of their, like, 5 off-the-bench players.
Yeah, he had almost 300 last year.
Yeah.
Played really well. So I had a hard time finding a surprise just because they're a team of, like...
Exactly.
Like, they're like the Yankees of the National League. You just kind of expect everyone mm-hmm. that's on the field to be really good.
Yeah.
And so I said the surprise was not making the World Series and blowing that lead to the Nats early in the playoffs. Like, no one saw that coming.
Yeah. We can look at the bracket. Someone did see this coming, but yeah.
All right, okay, but you can't say thought that would happen.
You're right.
You know, yeah, so with the whole surprise, you know what's interesting to me is that I think I've said this before, but every year there's just the guy for the Dodgers.
There's someone new who steps up.
This year it was Bellinger. Mm-hmm. Last year it was Muncy.
The year before that, Bellinger.
Bellinger, maybe even Chris Taylor. It was Corey Seager.
Yeah. So could you think that Gavin Lux might be that guy this year? I remember because
next year
he was pretty highly.
I think he did pretty well. I can see it.
It could be a plethora of the people they do have.
Yeah, that's the thing. It could be anyone, and I wouldn't be surprised. Yeah.
And they have one of the best farm systems in baseball. Like,
which they
call someone up, and you just kind of expect them to be a stud.
Is that surprising to have such a good farm system at such a high performing rate for the past 3 years? Like, I thought usually when you play this good, you don't have a good farm system.
Because they don't get as high picks or whatever.
Usually that's the case, but I've learned that. With the really big market teams, Dodgers and Yankees, they're always going to have a good farm system. They're always going to have a good MLB team.
Okay.
For some reason, that's the case. I think it's because they can just throw dollars upon dollars at international free agents when they're like 16, 17 years old.
Yeah.
And they have the ability to pay the best scouts. They have the ability.
True, I mean, money does control this.
They can pay for the best facilities.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Money pays.
Yeah.
2019, great for the Dodgers.
I mean, you could say 3 years in a row, it's an F, but I know it's not really an F. I'd probably, C?
I said a C minus, a D plus.
Exactly, right?
I put down B, but that's pretty positive.
Bro, B?
I just think they had a really, 106 wins is good, but a team like that has to get to the World Series.
You talked about this before.
And they can't blow a 3-1 lead.
That's 3-1 lead, let alone how you always mention how this is their third year at it, right? It's like the first two, you got me. We're coming to town third time, and then they got blown out of the underdog team from nowhere. Come on.
Yeah. From the wild card team.
Exactly.
Come on.
Yeah, I know. It could go either. I would just like to look at it from the positive standpoint. Because, I mean, 106 wins is a lot. But in the playoffs, I do agree.
The regular season, 162 games. That only matters for seeding in the playoffs.
Especially for that division alone.
Yeah, sure. And I guess you look at everybody else in the division. The Dodgers should have won over 100 games.
Yeah.
Definitely.
So anyway, off-season target, I just said they need to re-sign Ryu.
Oh, because he's still a free agent, no?
Yeah. The one good one left.
I said, who knows, right? They kind of have, on paper, they still have the team they need to have, but I don't know what the piece would be. I don't think it's Francisco Lindor either, so.
Yeah, speaking of Francisco Lindor, did you guys see that the Indians are saying they're taking their final offers on him this weekend?
Oh, gosh. Well, goodbye.
I think that's more of a selling point to try and gauge where they are as a franchise with him, see what they want to do, because he's got two more years of club control, 2020 and 2021. We can talk about this later, but I do think he should get traded at this point. I've thought about it. Okay. Anyway, off-season target for the Dodgers. I said, I don't know. They're two stacks everywhere. Exactly. And I feel like if they lose Ryu, someone's going to step up. Yeah. It always happens.
It's also within their pitching staff that someone always is the guy. So.
But I do have a little bit of a prediction.
Oh, hit me.
A little bit of a hot take. I think Clayton Kershaw takes a big step off.
Oh.
Next year.
What about how you feel about that, Coffer? Because you've always just talked about how people write him off, but
Yeah, so you're saying step off like
I think
4-0 he's not ERA or worse.
He's gonna have predicting stats either. I can't. You can't predict stats. It's picking a needle out of a haystack right there, but and I'm not gonna say he's gonna have a 3.5 ERA or whatever, but I don't think you're going to see another, Cy Young candidate type year from him for the rest of his career.
I think, which is fair.
And I would argue that he is not going to be the number one starter for the Dodgers.
I wouldn't think so either.
Or any team
for
the rest of his career. Because I do think he's going to retire as a Dodger.
Yes.
I just don't see them getting rid of him.
Yeah, especially all that he has done,
He's dealt a lot with injuries. I think he's just mentally beat.
That's especially after the play. Yeah, I agree.
Like, right. if you think about it, like, mm-hmm. at this, like, from the World Series losses, I don't think that was as hard of on him as this postseason was.
Mm-hmm. I mean,
even though he didn't make it as far, I thought this was the toughest.
Well, it's because it's like you're going in with high expectations, knowing that this is the wild card team. This isn't really a team we, quote unquote, have to try for. And then they.
And he gave up the game tying home run, was it?
To Juan Soto? No, it wasn't Juan Soto. But
or how he gave up. I think he gave up back to back to Rendon and then Soto.
That's what it was. Okay.
Which blew the lead.
Oh yeah.
And so if you remember, after they got eliminated, or after he was yelling in the clubhouse, oh, like,
yeah. Choker, I hate myself.
Yeah,
that was tough to watch.
Tough to read about for sure. Can't imagine being in the locker room.
Yeah.
Seeing that, really tough, and I don't want to write him off because he's a first ballot Hall of Famer. Should be unanimous. I don't think there's any reason for someone to say that he's not in the Hall of Fame.
I want to know the people that always say no to those situations.
I don't understand the unanimous Hall of Fame thing. Like, mm-hmm. there are certain people that should be in the Hall of Fame, and no one should dispute it.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
And I don't understand why they're not unanimous.
His career, like, ERA is 2.44.
That's, which is insane.
Even after this year, it says so much.
Well, okay. Too. So right off the bat, what would you, without knowing his stats, what would you grade his 2019? It's going to be impossible, but just like, you didn't hear about him much, what would you grade it?
I'd probably say it's like
an A minus.
Like B, B plus.
He went 16-5 with a 3.03 ERA, 178 innings, 189 strikeouts.
I mean, that's your secondary third guy in your rotation that will get you those outs and starts. He's not an ace by any means anymore, in my opinion. That's
maybe for the Dodgers, but I think
I mean
those stats are all right.
I mean, for like, put that on the Mariners, of course he's the ace. Come on.
Yeah, and I'm like looking, and he's a 12-year vet. He's going into his 13th year. He's pitched over 2,000 innings.
Oh.
Like.
What is a record that's coming up for him? Or just like a thing that is it the strikeouts maybe?
He's 36 away from 2,500 strikeouts.
Okay, well, he'll hit the 3,000 strike mark before he retires.
And he's only 31.
On paper, he's got 9 more years, right?
Yeah, on paper.
Except he's pitched like nearly 2,300 innings, so I'd give him 3 or 4 more years.
Wow. One of the cool things that baseballreference.com does is they project what players will do next year.
Oh, I didn't know that.
And they are projecting that Clayton Kershaw will finish with a 3.24 ERA. Okay. Which, if you think about it, may be a little high for him, especially regarding that his career ERA is under 3.
Mm-hmm.
And they say he's going to pitch 164 innings, which is
164?
Interesting. 164? So that's a decrease. I would say their prediction is on track with what I would think about.
I think it might be a little bit generous, but you're right.
Yeah. Anyway.
All right, moving on.
Yeah. Before we move on, I have a question.
Hit me.
Do you think the Dodgers, this is a really hard question, do you think the Dodgers would have posed a more interesting World Series against the Astros, even with the Nationals taking them 7 games?
Because
if you think about it, they're really, like, the same team. They both had 3 big starters
who were
I mean, Greinke was not great in the postseason, but he wasn't horrible. He got by.
Mm-hmm.
And the Dodgers had that 3-headed monster.
Yeah, and you couldn't even dispute that monster by any stretch of the imagination. They were all great.
Bueller, Clayton Kershaw, and Ryu.
Yeah. And you could probably pretty much say their lineup was the exact same.
Well, here's the thing. The Nationals also had a 3-headed monster.
Strasburg.
Scherzer and Corbin.
Yeah.
That's a lot of good pitching. But do you think the Dodgers would have posed a more interesting World Series?
Yeah, I think so.
Even with the series going 7 games.
I think in the end, considering just the rivalry they've created with the past years and the fact that it might have been just more competitive overall, not one-sided for each match.
The run differential in each game was kind of crazy. Like, it was a boring World Series to watch until Game 7.
No, but you're right. Like, we always say we prefer tight games here, right? Like, we didn't get a single, we didn't get any of that until game seven, obviously.
And then it pulled away towards the end. All right. Going on to Arizona, they finished 85-77. Are you guys surprised that they finished with 85 wins?
I'm not. I think they actually have a really good team. Ooh. I wasn't surprised. I mean, that pit. So my expectation for them was a wild card. I don't know anybody else.
I said playoffs ? I really didn't know what their expectations were going into the season, given just their last
year. It was tough to really do that for the whole division.
I thought so too. I was not sure.
This is the first division that, like, I kind of struggled with thinking about. What was this team's expectation going into the year? But yeah, I said compete for the wild card. The National League is really stacked with like the teams at the top from the teams to the bottom. There's a big disparity, but the teams towards the top are really competitive. So I thought,
yeah, it's hard to like break into that, you know. So
yeah, team strength.
I said consistency.
That's a really good one.
They weren't under 12 in any category when it came to fielding, hitting, and pitching.
Exactly what I was going to say.
There we go.
And their team weakness. I didn't really write anything down, but I think a lot of it is just question marks. There's a lot of question marks on that team. Tywan Walker.
Oh, yeah.
Bobby Ray. Ketel Marte was a huge question mark going into the year.
Yeah.
And then he produced MVP type numbers.
Yes. Yeah.
And got little recognition.
So that, I mean, it's also a weakness. I think the problem is those question marks, a lot are still unanswered.
Yeah.
Compared to answered, which is why I'm also excited for this team next year.
Yeah, they have about a top five farm system in baseball, which not a lot of people know. They have a lot of really young guys in the farm system coming up.
Corbin Carroll from Seattle.
Yeah. He's from Seattle? I didn't know.
Played for
hit me with it. Come on.
I don't know, but
well,
anyway, I'll continue. I had mentioned this to you guys.
Is he 19 when you say that? Wow.
I'd mentioned this to you guys over the week, but I was doing this on Thursday and I was thinking, this is probably the most underrated franchise in baseball.
Yeah, I
they've
agree
won
with
a World
that.
Series. They beat the Yankees in 7 games in the World Series.
Oh,
in
2001 exactly.
They've not been good every year of their existence, but they've been competitive, especially within the last few years.
They've been over 500 for the last 3 years,
which is more than what the Mariners can say in their last 40 years. The Diamondbacks have accomplished more in their 18, 19 years than the Mariners have in their 43, 44 years as a franchise. So in half the time, they've accomplished over a double of what the Mariners have done, which is saying, actually not saying much, what the Mariners haven't done. But I would argue that this is probably the most underrated franchise in baseball.
I agree with that. Team MVP?
Ketel Marte.
Yeah, for his injury. 32 home runs.
Nearly 7 war.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, for a dude. I can't believe he was a Mariner. It's always the Mariner, though.
Always. And Robinson Cano saw his stardom before you, and you're the one who pointed this out to me, Noah.
When?
That Robinson Cano was like, this guy's going to be better than me one day.
Oh, that was
back
a while
when
ago,
they, back when they were both on the Mariners.
2015.
And Ketel Marte was playing shortstop and Robbie at second base.
Those were good times, though. I think we were at least somewhat competitive back then. No? You could get a little less than competitive.
Definitely more than now.
But it was Mariners competitive.
Yeah, it was good for us.
Which is just basically a synonym for false hope. Team Cy Young. I chose Zach Greinke.
Me too.
Same.
And obviously he went to Houston for a reason. He's having a really good year.
Yeah, 2.90 ERA over 100, a little over 400, a little over 140 innings pitched.
Team surprise.
I said it was Ketel Marte.
I said it was Ketel Marte as well.
I said it was Eduardo Escobar.
See, I just didn't know much about players. So
have you heard much of this guy?
Never heard the name in my life.
I know the name.
Yeah, he plays third base. Hit 35 home runs.
Oh.
Drove in 118 runs.
Okay. Okay, and he might deserve
OPS over, like, I think it was like 880 something. You can definitely give it to Ketel Marte. I'm not arguing that at all.
No, but that's... But
this guy, but nobody's heard of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, no, give credit where credit's due.
Didn't he play on the...
Twins, I think.
He's been around.
I remember playing mini golf.
Now that we've seen
he played on the Twins.
Yeah,
and I knew he was on an AL Central team because he was on the White Sox in 2011.
Wow. So the more you know.
Been around for a while.
2019 grade for the Diamondbacks.
I said B+.
I said C+ back in CB.
I said A-. I think I just think that it was just a really, really good. Really yeah. Quiet, good year for them. They're continuing to show that they're competitive, mm-hmm.
And they got Mad Bum.
Oh, like,
They're building.
That was part of my offseason target. Just keep building. That's address the questions.
Oh, that's such a good point.
And I said maybe they should trade for another star, I think. And there's a little bit of talk about Taiwan Walker coming to the Mariners. I don't know if he's a free agent, but...
He was non-tendered.
So he is a free agent, though. Yeah. Anyway, Mitch Haniger going back to the Diamondbacks.
Yeah, that's where he started his career. Yeah, you've talked about this.
And
I hate to talk about it, but I could really see it happen.
And I could see it happening because they could probably use another outfielder. Because
didn't they get rid of Souza Jr.? I'm not sure if he was a starting player, but I knew he did play in the outfield for a lot, and he didn't get picked up, maybe?
Yeah, I think so. I think he might have been non-tendered, too.
They had Adam Jones last year.
Yeah, he went to Japan.
And he had a good year. I was kind of surprised that he went to Japan.
Yeah.
I think it's just because the dollars were right.
Grab him a t-shirt.
but they do have a hole. They have David Peralta in left field. And then they had Ketel Marte playing center field.
Yeah.
Which not a lot of people. Ketel Marte played center field instead of shortstop, and I feel like we'll talk about that next week. But and then so they have an opening in right field for an outfielder, and Mitch Haniger makes perfect sense for them. I could see them trading for him. I think that would, as if Mitch Haniger could stay healthy next year, that'd be a big.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Be a big deal.
Okay, so on to the Giants. This is probably the hardest team that I found to do anything with.
Yeah, it's a grade.
Yeah. A lot of this stuff is weird.
So what was
at least that I read down.
So what was the Giants' expectation or goal?
I thought it so they were they keep saying we wanna build to win, and then if like one of my best friends is a really big Giants fan, so I'll hear him talking about it, so I ended up following the Giants a little bit throughout the year, and they kind of started slow, but then they really picked it up in, like, May or June, closer to the All-Star break, if you remember. They got really hot. They won, like, 10 games in a row they were talking about trading Madison Bumgarner, but they didn't because they went on that run.
Mm-hmm.
And so that really was, like, what are they trying to do this year? Are they trying to compete, like...
I said decide the rebuild. I don't like.
Yeah,
I couldn't believe when I heard that they said that they weren't gonna trade Bumgarner.
It made no sense
because you look at like I think they it was like a 20 and they won 20 out of 22 or something.
Yeah,
but it was because they were playing like the Reds and the Marlins and like the Orioles and teams like that.
Teams that are supposed to
win against.
Oh yeah.
And. Yeah, I couldn't believe that. And I thought they said, like, oh, yeah, we're going to go for the wild card this year. I was just dumbstruck when I heard that.
Yeah,
I
couldn't believe that.
Sounds like the Mets, except imagine a team that's worse than the Mets.
Except it was, I mean, their dynasty is not a thing of too distant past. And I think they still had a lot of same management, a lot of the same players. And if I'm the general manager, if I got to decide what I did with all the players, I would have traded Bynum and Bumgarner. I would have traded Buster Posey, and built that farm instantly. If they really decided to go full sell mode, they would have like a top 10 farm system.
Also, right, they always talk about like family, and they're not necessarily family, but just being a really strong community within their team. I feel like if they're doing a good thing, they'd be like, we don't want to waste these guys' careers, at least Mad Bum's end of the year. Obviously, they did trade him and could have probably gotten more from him. But if you, I mean, let these guys have a better career somewhere else, or try to let them have somewhere better else, because, you know, not going to finish it there, at least if right now.
So what was the team strength? Again, I'm drawing a blank.
I said the never gave up mentality.
I said their farm system really improved from the beginning of the year. They did add a lot of pieces. They went from bottom five to about top 15-ish.
Oh, wow. That's moves now. I mean, like,
so that's improvement. Yeah. I think that could have went to top 10 if they traded Madison Bumgarner and Buster Posey. They could have gotten a lot of stuff back for them.
For sure.
Team weakness. I wrote down aging core.
I said anything.
That, and they had a bottom three offense.
Yeah. There's not much to
talk about. Not much to talk about there. Yeah. TYVP?
When you can go ahead. I had a really tough time finding one.
Same. I said Kevin Pillar, but, like, that's not also saying much if Kevin Pillar's your team MVP. I love them back in Toronto. I think the whole Superman thing was really cool. I wish he stayed there, probably, because I think that's his team. But, I mean, he adjusted quick. Yeah. In San Francisco. So I would say that's something to attest to his skill and potential. So I think he deserves it, you know? It's kind of...
I said it was Madison Bumgarner.
That's fair.
Maybe a little cheap, but he pitched over 200 innings. He had 34 starts.
34 starts? God, yeah. The whole team on your back, gosh.
Yeah, did give up a lot of home runs, though.
Yeah, Max Muncy.
I chose... Still looking for that
get
ball.
Get that ball out of the water.
Go get out of the water. I chose Kevin Pillar as well. Really, the only reason was because he drove in 87 runs, which surprised me because I didn't think someone like him would.
Like, oh, you didn't think he's like an RBI guy? I mean, on paper, yeah. he's an on-base guy.
Yeah, he also placed, fun fact, he placed 30th in MVP voting.
One vote.
Yep.
Hey.
I'll take the one.
Team Cy Young.
Go buy that man a beer if I was Kevin Pillar. Like, what were you thinking, man?
Yeah. Team Cy Young, Mad Bum,
although I can see an argument for Will Smith.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, you're right.
Good point. Will Smith, the most boring name ever.
Yeah.
Not the actor.
All right, the team surprise?
Mike Yastrzemski?
That's what I said. I said there was two.
Okay, what was your other one?
I said that dude didn't trade Mad Bum.
Oh, that's also a great pick.
I chose Buster Posey. You want to know why?
Hit me. Because he's injury?
Because he only slugged 370.
It's like...
Well, I mean...
Bad.
Yeah. I mean...
And his on-base percentage was like 260.
I mean, dude's coming back from like being broken down like every year. I mean, I don't know much about his history when it comes to his injuries and just his career in general.
My main thing is with Buster Posey is that you can't call this guy a top 10 catcher anymore. I don't even think you can call him top 15.
He's not great.
15 might be a stretch, dog.
Well, he's still producing overall well on the offensive level. He didn't have a great year last year, but he only played 114 games.
Still a lot, no? Especially for him.
Well, for a catcher, you usually expect them to play a little less, but if you're looking like back when the Giants were winning all those games, he was playing between 140 and 150 games.
True, that's
every year.
Yeah, no, I think it's just because we're going off of his super major success that he's had, and it's kind of just a stark difference seeing this.
And he's getting 1 year removed from slashing 284, 360, 382.
The slugging's always been down.
Yeah, it's also, except the year before that, he slugged 462.
He's out of his prime, I guess.
Maybe, but I would also argue that slugging in AT&T Park is insanely tough. I think they changed the name to Oracle. Yeah, but slugging in that stadium is really hard to do. It is a pitcher's park.
So the grade for the Giants? I am a D plus.
Yeah, I said like a C plus ish.
I said C, so.
I just one of the most confusing teams in the game right now.
Offseason target?
I said you gotta like do something.
You have to decide as a franchise what you're gonna do.
Yeah, you need to make that decision of like rebuild. I think they should rebuild.
Yeah, I said sell.
It's probably too late to start the rebuild. It took too long to start.
Yeah.
It's probably too late. Well, it's
their fault.
They're in a really similar situation to the Royals.
Yeah.
They kept all their players together just to do them good, I guess.
Yeah.
And maybe make one more chance at a postseason. But organizationally and long term, that wasn't a good decision.
Yeah.
Because now they're gonna suck for a couple of years, I would guess.
Yeah. I mean, which comes to no surprise to anybody, though.
Also, you could see Buster Posey shift to first base. I know that's been of talk.
Yeah, for sure. But in recent years. Where did Brandon Belt... I mean, if he was to stay on the team, Brandon Belt would have to go somewhere.
Who knows? They might trade one of them.
Yeah, honestly, yeah.
Rockies?
Rockies. This was... Honestly, this team was a little harder for me to do than the Giants.
I said they were a wild card team because they made it last year.
I said be in contention, you know, put up a fight.
Yeah, I said I didn't know.
Yeah. I mean, I can't blame you, dude. It's kind of up in arms.
Because they finished with 71 wins.
Yeah, I mean.
Which is really underachieving, I felt like.
Yeah. Yeah. Team strength, obviously, got to be that offense.
They had the 9th ranked offense in MLB, but. They play in like the most hitter friendly park.
True. Elevation, bro.
That's so weird to think about that the Giants play in one of the most pitcher friendly parks and then the Rockies play in probably the most hitter friendly park and they're both in the same division.
Yeah, you'd expect one to be in like just the AL something, but.
Team weakness. You can obviously make the argument for pitching.
I feel like you're dumb if you don't make the argument for pitching.
Yeah, I said pitching, their farm system also sucks.
Oh, for real? It's honestly just, I was looking at it, their hitting isn't spectacular, but their pitching is just so trash. Like, where was it bad? Yeah, like, when, I don't know the history of the Rockies by any stretch of imagination, but, you know, you would think you would have picked up, like, some ace or some, like, second star guy.
I think it's really hard to bring pitching to
Colorado. Good. Yeah, because you're like, you will get lit up, but you'll...
You will get lit up, and your value will go down after you come here, but...
We have Arenado.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, speaking of Arenado, who's my team MVP?
I think that's a wash for all of us, yeah.
And then the team Cy Young.
John Gray. I saw everybody had a 6 ERA or like a 5. He had a 3, so I went with John Gray.
I said German Marquez. You heard of this guy?
Yo, yes, I have.
Strikes out everybody.
Yeah. Led the team in ERA, wins, strikeouts, whip, innings pitched, and game started. So I thought that was pretty easy to...
Yeah, no, I mean...
I chose Scott Oberg.
Explain to me who, what, when, yeah, where,
who
why.
Is this guy? Relief pitcher, 49 games, 2.4 war. As a relief pitcher, that's high as hell. Six wins, 1 loss, 5 saves, 56 innings pitched, 58 strikeouts, 1.1 war. He just got mine.
Yeah.
As a relief pitcher. You know
what's crazy?
What?
I'm looking at German Marquez's stats from the past few years. Pitched 196 innings last year, not 2019, 2018 he did.
Okay.
And had a 230 strikeouts.
What?
Holy.
Who's German Marquez?
Oh, yeah.
And last year he pitched 174 innings and 175 strikeouts. But 230 strikeouts, That's insane.
That is insane for someone that isn't known for doing that, especially.
All right, team surprise.
Why didn't they do better?
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Chris Hanina because he still has a job. But that's just me.
I chose...
This was my inner Mariner talking.
I went between Kyle Freeland and Wade Davis. I remember we talked about Freeland a while ago. Because he had like a 6 point something ERA, finished like 3-12. You would not believe the year that Wade Davis had. Are you ready for this? This is gonna make you throw up.
Okay.
-1.3 WAR.
Wait, what?
-1.3.
And this guy used to play for. I'm trying to remember. Wasn't he on another team? Yeah.
Yeah, and he was a mate. He was shut down. Okay, went 1-6. That's not, like, terrible, but that's pretty bad. In 50 games, guess what his ERA was?
I'm going to throw up a nice...
It's got to be, like, 5.
Yeah, 5 spot.
8.65.
Wow.
Whoa.
Yeah, in 42...
That's called course Field or Coors Park.
That's just Coors Field, yeah. I think. Yeah. Awful. And then, so he's got to be my team surprise. You can also give it to Kyle Freeland, who went 3-11 with a 6.73 ERA. Yeah,
going off of what he did, I believe, two years ago, 2018,
yeah.
Makes no sense. Mainly because, like, the only reason I know this is that in the show, he had, like, a postseason card or something like that, and he was, like, a stud, apparently. Like, I don't know. It was, like, an 87 overall, so I knew he was good. But
So I'm giving the Rockies an F.
Ooh.
Yeah. I wrote a C, but that's probably a D.
Yeah, D.
I just... team like that finishing 20 more losses than wins is just F season for me.
Yeah.
So wrapping it up with the San Diego Padres, everyone's second or third favorite team, I feel like.
Yeah.
They're like the Mariners of the National League.
I think
do a little bit more than just the Mariners.
The expectation for them is the rebuild. Finish the rebuild, finish it up, start to be competitive.
Yeah, I said start seeing life of being competitive.
Yeah.
Team strength for them, tough finding anything at the major league level, but their farm system is amazing.
Number one in baseball.
It was I had no idea. I said age, but, you know.
Yeah.
Goes hand in hand, though.
Yeah.
Their farm system is, I cannot stress this enough.
Stacked from top to bottom.
Yeah. I think 9 or 10 top 100 prospects is freaking crazy.
They have 1/10 of MLB's prospects.
So that's what I dream. I love seeing that. That's awesome.
And the weakness, they were last in almost every statistical category in 2019.
Yes. Yeah, they were bottom 5 offense.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Team MVP, it's probably Fernando Tatis.
Yeah.
Yeah, I said Tatis. Despite him getting injured, he had a really good start to his career right there.
Yeah.
317 average, 22 home runs. 50.
I can't believe Machado signed that $300 million deal.
That's sort of what my surprise was.
Yeah.
What the hell was Machado thinking?
But like,
hey, I mean...
Especially for what he's producing.
But like, honestly, what that reminded me of is like what Robinson Cano kind of did with the Mariners. Hey, look, I'm just going to go get my money. Except Machado doesn't have his ring yet. I was kind of surprised he did pick the Padres over the Yankees in free agency.
Oh, yeah.
The team Cy Young for the Padres should be around the board. Paddock?
Yeah.
Yeah.
The Sheriff, 26 starts, yeah. 140, a little over 140 pitched. 153 strikeouts.
Got real pissed off when he was in, like, Rookie of the Month this year. I don't know why. I was like, dude, calm down.
It's like, dude.
Team surprise?
Tatis.
And I said Kirby Yates.
Oh, that's also a really good pick.
I can pull up his stats real quick. He had should have won reliever of the year. Gave it to Hader instead.
Yeah, Yates, we all agreed about that.
Yates had a 2.8 WAR, 1.19 ERA, 60 innings pitched, 41 saves, 101 strikeouts in 60 innings. Good. He was really, really good.
Yeah, especially with that WAR backing him. It just means something.
And he's a closer?
Yep, 41 saves.
That is, I would argue that is probably the hardest position to seal.
Yeah,
for being competitive is your closer. I think that's the hardest position.
Well, there's no like ifs, ands, or buts about it. You either do it or you don't. You know.
Yeah, it's true. You're not usually like you're either a good closer or you're not good.
Yeah.
You don't see a lot of mediocre
with Edwin
guys.
Diaz. He was a good closer, and then he wasn't.
He was a really bad closer.
His son needs some help throwing a baseball.
I said their surprise was honestly how much injuries felt like it derailed them.
Tatis. That Tatis injury was rough for everybody to go through.
Yeah, that hurts them a lot. Not just in the short term for that year, but I mean, you want these guys. The thing that a lot of teams struggle with when their farm system is really good is they want to bring all their players up, because when you bring your players up earlier, that gets them more experience, and so they get a year to get adjusted, and then they get to compete. And then they get to their competitive window. The other side to that coin is you bring them up too fast and you rush them and they're not ready.
Yeah.
So with Tatis, it's like you just missed basically a half. What did he miss? Like half the year?
Yeah.
You basically just missed half the year of development for him at the major league level. And I think obviously he was lights out for his first half a year. But yeah, that was that was tough to see him go.
Mm-hmm.
Really good for baseball, too.
Yeah. Air Tatis, you know, the jump like 3 feet in the air. And snagged a liner. 2019 grade for the Padres. I'm going to give him like a C+.
That's a B minus.
Yeah, I said a C.
I just, you know, that.
I guess I need to see more progression for them to get better grades.
Yeah. And offseason target. I want to see him get somebody, but like mainly just finish up the rebuild, you know.
Yeah.
Get ready to compete. I want to see him 500 next year. I don't think that's all that far. I mean, I know they finished 70-92, but they added Pham.
Oh gosh, they did add Pham.
So
yeah, that's a good pickup for them. You know, that was a little bit of a heist right there.
Yeah,
it was.
Got to give up a slapdick prospect.
All right, so I guess we'll move on to just stuff that went down
Over the week. Did you want to take this?
The first one. That'd be what, Wade Miley?
Yeah, so Wade Miley, I don't know how much we really need to cover. This is pretty
low-key in the baseball sense.
Yeah, not huge, but he did sign a 2-year, $15 million deal with the Reds. Wade Miley is probably the definition of an average pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
A very three at best, probably a 4 starter.
I remember in a rotation. He was having a really good year with Houston.
Yeah.
And then
he kind of fell off. He
just got lit the hell up.
At the end of the year.
He got blasted. I'll pull up his splits, but I think he finished the year with like a 3.7 ERA. But if not for that last month, it would have been down to like a 3.1. Oh. Which is, for Wade Miley, I mean, that's...
And a 3.1 ERA is good for any pitcher, really.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. What happened next as I pull up Miley's stats?
So... Wait, Miley was signed on Monday. Tuesday, the Cardinals signed Korean star, and I will try not to butcher their name.
You got the star.
Kwang Hyun Kim. He had 17 wins and a 2.51 ERA in the KBO, the Korean Baseball League. So very good pitcher. I think that is a... If he performs well, the Cardinals were very close to it. They were 4 wins away from the World Series.
Yeah.
That's a big signing, especially with Adam Wainwright starting to show a little bit of aging.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good point. I think it's just a good replacement, if anything.
Oh, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Also, another player coming in from Asia.
Yes.
Tampa Bay Rays signed...
Yoshitomo
Tsutsugo. They're hyping him up. That's what you said.
Huge home run hitter. I do not have his stats offhand, but...
A poor man's day holy.
I think it's such
it would be the other way around. Yeah. I would argue. This guy kills baseballs. Was a Japanese phenomenon.
I gotta watch this hype video. Japanese hype videos are always fire. It's just like a lot of like Japanese screaming, but with like
bumps. I love the Japanese commentators. They get really hyped up. So, I got his stats right here. In 2019, 29 homers, 79 RBIs, 272 average. Year before that, 38 homers, 89 RBIs. 2016, when he was 24 years old and his best year, 44 homers, 110 RBIs, 322 average, 430 on base, 680 slugging, OPS of 1100. Career OPS is 910.
Oh.
Yeah.
205 homers, 615 RBIs. I don't want to assume anything, but I think that transition to the MLB level is going to be nice and easy for him.
Ooh. It's usually...
For Tsutsugo?
Yeah. Otani's hitting was right off the bat. Actually, everything for Otani was just nice and easy, but then he got hurt.
Yeah.
Yeah, couldn't stay healthy.
I hope it is. You know, I think...
It's great for the game.
The old narrative was that coming from Japan, you were going to get shelled as soon as you get to the MLB level, but I think it's starting to... Not necessarily be equal, but for the stars, it is starting to look even.
So, the Brewers made a few signings in the past week. They signed both Eric Sogard and Justin Smoke, pretty minor signings. I don't know what I would rate those for that team.
I think Eric Sogard is a very good pick, but low-key pick.
Yeah. Eric Sogard quietly had a very good year last year. He hit .290. Yeah. 350 on base percentage, and he slugged 460.
For him, that's numbers, you know.
Yeah, that's the highest slugging percentage he's had in his career, and by a lot too, by about like 30 points.
Oh wow!
Yeah, I think it's a small pickup. Probably won't be that big of an impact for the Brewers, but
watch him be like they go to the postseason. Eric Sogard's going to be the man, and it was the best signing of the year.
I mean, you have him, you have Ryan Braun, and you have Christian Yelich in the outfield.
Oh yeah.
Yeah. And right. We could always see them get someone else.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and then Justin Smoak is he not a bad player at all.
No, I remember him, at least not necessarily recent, but within the past 5 years, he was a pretty like top five first baseman when it came to offense, at least.
He used to be on the Mariners back in the day.
Yeah, then we traded him, then he became an all-star. Cool.
Yeah, I remember that.
What's up with us in doing that, dude? If we just hold that a little bit longer.
He was in Seattle as recently as 2014. Whoa. That was that long ago, huh?
I really just blocked him out of that. Like, I just have this block where Justin Smoak played because I don't like to remember that. I know 2017 he had a good year, though.
Yeah, 2017 he was an all-star. Yeah. He hit 270, which is, like, the highest he's ever hit in his life. Yeah. And I say that with a little bit of an insulting manner because this guy struggles to hit 200 for the majority of his career. Last year he hit 208.
Yeah.
He's not a great hitter. He's got pop, and he's pretty good defensively, but that's about it.
You think of a first baseman, it's Justin Smoak.
Yeah.
Prototypical first baseman. Power, can hit, strikes out a lot.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, he's decent with the glove.
Catch a ball.
Yeah. Probably a good pickup for the Brewers. Nothing mind-blowing, but I think it also... I saw that they were going to try to test Braun at first base, and now you don't have to do that,
which
is probably the right idea.
And to Justin Smoak's credit, he had a decent year for on-base percentage. His on-base percentage was .342. So for his standards.
Exactly. For his standards, that's pretty good.
Yeah.
.342.
Yeah. Is there any more?
There is a couple. Yeah. The Royals signed Michael Franco to a 1-year, $3 million deal. Former slugger. Don't know much about him, to be honest with you.
Yeah.
I just know, I remember just seeing on Instagram, the Mets pages hate this guy.
I guess he was a
Mets. He just goes off against the Mets, but he's pretty bad against every other team. I know. For Franco, everybody's just been waiting for this guy to just, this is the year. Watch for him this year. Mm-hmm. Watch for him. Never's happened.
Nothing with the Mets, apparently.
Transitioning to the other side of the country in the AL West, Martin Maldonado signed a 2-year, $7 million deal with the Astros. He's back in Houston.
I mean, makes sense, right? You don't want to give up your catcher that knows everything. Obviously, you switch sides immediately after the end of the season, let alone when you trade people, because that just comes with it. But I guess you... either stick with the scandal, right? Or, I mean, I don't even know what else you'd do. Yeah.
I'm surprised anybody would even want to go to Houston right now.
Yeah.
I really am.
Wasn't Martin Maldonado, though, the battery for Justin Verlander?
So yeah, I know he was on that team last year.
And he's one of the best defensive catchers in all of baseball.
Mm-hmm.
He's probably right behind Roberto Perez.
I would have loved to see that guy on the Mariners.
Yeah.
Yeah, of course.
Any rebuilding team would love to have this guy.
He really sets your pitchers up for success, which is kind of not... I'm going to say what we need, but we need a lot more than just that, so...
Staying in the AL West, the Angels signed Julio Teheran.
This is...
former Brave.
Finally gets away from Bryce Harper. I think Harper has literally, like, 7 home runs on this dude. Like, I think there was, like, some beef, and then Bryce just always won the battle after. But I think a very good move, in my opinion.
It's weird. This guy has a ton of hype.
Yeah.
But I feel like he's never...
I don't think he's lived to the hype. I think he's consistently been, like, a third roster guy. Nothing more, though.
Yeah. He's had a lot of hype, and he's been, like... kind of an up and down pitcher for most of his career. He's been with Atlanta since 2011, so 9 years, which is
kind of
longer than I thought he was in the league.
Surprising to see them let him go.
Yeah, I think it's a good signing for the Angels. But, like, when you have a team that's in both the Gerrit Cole and the Rendon sweepstakes,
yeah,
that's, like, you know, going to create buzz, obviously.
Yeah.
But then, and when you land one of them, it's like, whoa, shit, these guys are going to go to the postseason.
Mm. Yeah.
It's just not true. With the Angels, it's not true.
They remind me a lot of what the Mariners were doing in, like, 2014.
Okay.
They had a decently young core, and then they were just trying to bring in a bunch of free agents to fill in the gaps.
Yeah.
And they did so a little hastily, I thought, without a lot of carefulness. Like, they don't have any pitching. They need more pitching.
Yeah.
This signing is not enough. If you want...
yeah, Julio Teheran is not going to carry your weight to the postseason.
You miss out on Cole. You miss out on Strasburg.
Ryu is still available.
I was going to say, LA team...
You decide that Delino DeShields and some slapdick prospect is too much for Corey friggin' Kluber.
Yeah.
Like...
And Kluber goes to your division rival.
I still don't even understand that trade, dude. Crazy to me.
Yeah.
Who was the dude doing that deal? He was like, Delino Shields. Delino. And he was like, you got me.
At least the Angels signed Julio Teheran. That fixes all their problems.
Yeah.
No, it doesn't. You know, he's a three-starter, four-starter, you know?
I still think that they're still looking to add. I don't think they're settled.
Yes. I think what they're going to be doing is get Ryu and be the start of this transition into the next season, which would be therefore signing another star or another very sought-after pitcher.
If they do end up signing Ryu, I'll take him more seriously, but for now they're still a distant third in that division between Houston and Oakland. And I don't think they're obviously a better team.
But the interesting is who's gonna be better next year, the Rangers or the Angels?
I think the Angels.
We can talk about this next week because we're gonna reveal the ALS next week.
Oh yeah, what are we talking about? We'll go all over this.
But staying with the Angels, former Angel, longtime Angel, longtime AL or former Ranger. My mistake. He did play a little bit with the Angels, though. Ian Kinsler.
Oh,
retired.
Yeah.
Yep. Spent probably 8 years with the Rangers? Yeah, 8 years.
Yeah, something like that.
Jack, you want to say the surprising thing with this?
Oh, yeah. He was one hit away from 2,000 hits. I feel like any dude would see if they could try to swing a...
I'm looking at this on baseballreference.com and seeing that he had retired at 1,999 hits.
it just seems so...
Yeah,
it's like... The opposite of oddly satisfying things. It's just
piss you off.
Yeah,
but I mean, same time, I don't know exactly why he decided to walk away from the game. He was on the decline. He hit 217 last year, but
yeah, he played heavy decline.
Played 14 years in the MLB and decided it was time
good
to hang
career
him up.
for anybody. Obviously, I mean, like, you still got to play on the pro level. 14 years is still a bless. You know,
you're able to retire before you're 40.
And he is going to be in the front office for the Padres. So, which is interesting to me. Like, what does someone do in that situation? Is he like, I mean,
obviously, I don't know, but. Yeah.
It's something to look for, you know, see what he is able to do.
Yeah, struggled with a little bit of injuries last year, it looks like.
He used to be really good.
Yeah.
30-30 player. I was talking about it before we started recording. 30-30 player.
God, I mean, when they saw that, they're probably like, this is it. We found him, you know, second coming right here. But obviously it was not the
250-something home runs, 250-something career steals.
Yeah, dude, nothing to shake your head at. We've said it time and time again that, have we said time and time again? I don't remember, so.
Yeah, he, just good career, you know. Would have liked to see. We got one more hit, but obviously that's his decision. And
obviously, I feel like someone did that this year that shouldn't have been playing but was playing.
Ichiro.
Yeah, thank you. He's going to pull, just for this sake, I'd be like, pulling each year, right? Give me an at bat, dog.
Yeah.
All right. Well, that's about it for free agency and the hot stove.
Yeah.
Like, wrap up this episode?
Yeah.
I don't think there's anything that's been controversial.
Nothing that's super pressing that we need to talk about.
Yeah. I think all the juice is coming in next episode with the AL West.
The AL West will be super fun to cover. Yeah. Not only that we're natives of Seattle and know the AL West, but the... As we already got into today, the Angels have been super interesting. The Rangers, I'm almost more interested to see what the Rangers do this year than the Angels.
Wow.
Just because of where their young guys are at, and they're more exciting. And then, I mean, the Mariners are a baseball team. and then you have the Astros and the Athletics who are really good. Yeah. And the Astros with all of their controversy. So that'll be interesting to cover next week.
Can't wait to see their punishment, honestly.
Hey, maybe that'll be revealed next week. Hopefully that is. Hopefully the stars align and we can just talk about that for like an hour.
You just want to talk about it for an hour, crackhead.
If you like this episode, you can follow us on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Overcast, Google Podcasts.
Just look it up.
Look it up. You'll find us.
I'm almost done with the website, I should say. We'll be going live soon.
New Year's around there.
Pretty much. It's just tweaking little things at this point.
Subscribe to our YouTube channel and follow us on Instagram at the Dugout Discussion. Mm-hmm. You can follow me on Instagram at @coughsyrup_.
Max Gordon with 2 R's on Instagram.
And J. Cross Orton.
We'll see you next week for the review of the AL West.